My name's Johnny Kajir. I was a youth pastor for 19 years, 13 of those years here at Faith Church, and I'm currently the pastor of community ministries and director here of the Faith East Community Center. So I love to talk about teen-related counseling issues because I still do a lot of teen-related counseling, and I think it's just an area where we need to do it well so that we can ultimately help these young people for the rest of their life. And so today we're going to be talking about a topic where we're really focusing in on how do we help the parents and not as much about how do we help the teenager, but the help we're going to give to the parents will also be helpful for the teenager. The topic we're talking about today are kids who are struggling with, we'll call it any form of sexual identity, the LGBTQ plus community and whatever form that they fit inside of that, we are looking to be able to help the parents of those kids lovingly help their kids. 3 years ago, my phone rang and it was from a mom from our youth group. And she called me up because her daughter, she had just discovered that morning on the way to school, revealed to her mom that she was struggling with same-sex attraction. She said, "Mom, I don't know what to do with this. And by the way, Mom, I also think that I might be a boy. And I would like to be referred to as a boy from now on." So the mom was in an incredible panic. What do I do? In fact, she called her husband. Can you imagine going to work that day and getting that news, how that would affect your day? And so she called her husband and asked her husband, "What are we going to do about this situation?" And her husband kind of had this freak out moment. And he's like, "That's it. She's not allowed to talk to anybody ever again. Pull her out of school. She's not going to be involved in anything that she's involved in. She's coming back home. We're just like going to watch her like a hawk. We're going to ground her for life until she figures out that this is not the direction she wants to go." And so I ended up having a meeting with that mom. And as I sat in on the meeting and was talking with her, we began to formulate the plan for what it would look like to love her in a way that would glorify God. So I encouraged her to do the following things. Instead of rejecting her like she's expecting you to do, let's instead love her. We're not going to affirm that what she has decided is right, but we are going to still love her in the way that God has commanded us to love everybody else. She's also still your daughter, and you still have a responsibility to love your daughter and to raise your daughter. So you need to do that. So let's listen to her. Let's ask her questions. Let's find out why this is what's going on in her life. Let's try to dig in and figure out what's really happening here. And then let's challenge her and point her to the hope of the gospel. I then called the small group leaders of her youth group, small group, and let them know about this situation, what was going on, and let them know that this could potentially be a thing that might come up at youth group. So you just need to be aware, if this young lady shows up to youth group, we're going to love her well, and if she starts saying that this is what she's struggling with, we're still going to love her well, but I also want to give you talking points to help change the narrative from her starting to tell everybody that it's okay that she's doing this. And so sure enough, she showed up that next week, and she started talking about her struggle, and they handled it actually pretty well, and several parents called me afterwards, were a little bit freaked out. What do we do in this situation, and how do we help our kids be ready for this situation? And we worked through all of that. So about a year went by of this, just interaction, us checking in on her, everybody being kind to her and loving her and sharing the hope of the gospel and talking about how Jesus' way is better and all of that. And we were coming up to our summer missions trip application process, and I was surprised because in the application process, we ask a bunch of questions about why you want to go on the trip, about your relationship with Christ and all of this sort of stuff, and she filled out an application and turned it in. And I thought, well, that's pretty unique. That's interesting. Some things are working here. Let's just see what's going on. And so I read through her application. I had a follow-up conversation with her, and this is what she told me. She said, "Through this last year, I fully expected to be rejected by everybody within the church and within my family. And instead, you all were kind. And I have realized that the gospel is actually the only thing that will help me. And I have decided to commit my life to Christ. And I want to change the way that I've been thinking." So praise the Lord for that, right? God's word does work. And when we handle these situations, even though they're hard, when they're difficult situations, if we handle them in a way with grace and love and compassion, we can really be helpful and effective. I want to share some staggering statistics with you. In 2019, so the CDC has been monitoring the status of teens who identify themselves as heterosexual versus any other identity, okay? The CDC did this. Now, this is a two-year gap. This is it. They're due to do a new one of these studies coming up in the next year and release the information. But in 2019, 84.5% of teens claimed to be heterosexual. In 2021, that had dropped down to 74.7% of teenagers claiming to be heterosexual. That means one in four teenagers claim to be in some way, shape, or form part of the LGBTQ plus movement. So you think about that for a second. That's a staggering number. That's going to hit your youth groups. That's going to affect your churches. In 2019, 2.5% of teenagers claimed to be gay or lesbian. In 2021, that had grown to 3%. But this is the number that I thought was even more staggering. In 2019, 8.6% of teenagers claimed to be bisexual, and in 2021, 12% claimed to be bisexual. So you think about that for a second. That's a lot of growth and a lot of change that's going on. So I started to dig into this. Why is this? And I was doing some research on this, and I came across this article about it written from a group that is pro-LGBTQ+, all right? But they address the reason why there's such a rise in this area, and here's what they said. Number one, the internet has allowed LGBTQ+ people, especially youth, to get exposure to ideas that they don't necessarily get from their family or community. Ideas such as that it's okay to be attracted to someone of the same gender as you, and that there's nothing wrong with you if you feel like your gender doesn't match what you were assigned at birth. So what is that? Number one, the internet. All right? The internet is telling a message. The internet is very much letting kids know stuff when it comes to this. Number two, we see a lot more positive LGBTQ+ representation in media, both fictional and real, than we ever have since the media's creation. This includes leaders who are open, proud, and are openly supportive of the community. So entertainment is doing what? What does entertainment do? Entertainment follows culture, right? And sometimes it pushes culture. So what is our culture saying? This is okay. If you have a problem with it, you're the issue. So what are they putting into all of the shows? What are the things that are becoming more and more commonplace? LGBTQ+ stuff. It's being driven. It's everywhere. Number three, there has been more and more education aimed not only towards children, but also parents, about the truths about LGBTQ+ and dispelling the harmful myths. In other words, there has been a focused effort to change people's opinion about their view of LGBTQ+. Can you see that? Yeah, it's everywhere. And then number four, and this is the one that was actually most alarming to me, and I think saddest, said this. Churches, which are historically extremely resistant to change, are beginning to not be just welcoming of LGBTQ+ people, but stepping away from the idea that being LGBTQ+ is somehow a sin or unnatural. Friends, that is a sad sentence to say. How many churches, in order to appease culture, have left what God's word clearly says? And friends, let me make this clear. You will never change culture if you're busy bowing to culture. So we need to stay consistent with what God's word says. Let me run through a few definitions here just so we know, because I think sometimes it's easy to get all of this stuff confused in our minds. So here's six important terms to define to help with this discussion. First of all, sex. Sex refers to the physical differences between people who are male, female, or intersex. I took this right out of a dictionary, okay? A person typically has their sex assigned at birth based on physiological characteristics, including their genitalia and chromosome composition. This assigned sex is called a person's natal sex. So you are born, this is where you are. The government just declared we only believe now in two genders, right? Have you heard that happened? Okay, all right. So this is what this is talking about. Number two, gender. This is where it gets a little bit confusing here in the definition, because the way LGBTQ community is defining gender is this way. Gender, on the other hand, involves how a person identifies. Unlike natal sex, gender is not made up of binary forms. Instead, gender is a broad spectrum. A person may identify at any point within the spectrum or outside of it entirely. So you can decide what gender you are because of how you feel, not because of what physiologically you have been.